إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our third session, reading from Kitab As-Siyam, the Book of Fasting from Bulugh Al-Maram, by Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani, rahimahullah. And this chapter, or this book, Kitab As-Siyam, is divided into three parts, and we have been reading the hadith from the first part, that is the Ahkam of Fasting. And as far as the second part, dealing with voluntary fasting, and the third part dealing with i'tikaf, and hopefully, maybe, we will be taking those hadith in the very near future, probably immediately after Ramadan. So please hold on to your books. Don't let them get away from you. Alhamdulillah, this topic is very important topic, the Book of Fasting, and a tremendous compilation from one of the greatest scholars in the history of Islam. Yani one of the greatest scholars of Hadith, Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasi'a. And he has collected in this chapter of Siyam, he's collected a number of Hadith, which, as I mentioned, yani are divided into three sections. The first of them, the Ahkam. And in the first week, we did the introduction to the book, an introduction to the author, and a few of the hadith. And last week, we took a number of topics, including hastening to break the fast, the importance of hastening and breaking one's fast, the barakah that is in taking the early pre-dawn meal, sahur, and the sunnah of taking for breaking fast fresh dates, and if not, then dry dates or water. We also dealt with al-wisal, yani continuous fasting without breaking the fast, yani fasting for 2 or 3 days without stopping, the importance of leaving off false speech and actions based upon it, as well as foolish behavior and anything else that's disliked by Allah while we are fasting. The ruling concerning a man kissing or fondling his wife while he's fasting, the ruling concerning al-hijama and the difference of opinion concerning it, and al-kuhul, yani that which is applied to the eyes for medicinal reasons and so on while one is fasting. These are some of the topics that we dealt with last week, and tonight, inshallah, we're going to deal with 7 more topics and hopefully complete the remaining hadith from this first section. The first hadith that we're going to take tonight is hadith number, in the Arabic book, it is hadith number 648. And in English, it's hadith number 544. And it's the 18th hadith in this section. The hadith of Abi Huraira, radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من نسي وهو صائم فأكل أو شرب فليتم صومه فإنما أطعمه الله وسقاه متفق عليه. يعني on the authority of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever forgets while he is fasting, يعني forgets that he is fasting, and therefore, as a result of one's forgetfulness, that person eats or drinks, then he must complete his fast. Yani he must, as soon as he remembers, stop eating or drinking and complete the fast. For indeed, it is Allah and only Allah who has fed him and given him to drink. This hadith is muttafaqun alayh, agreed upon as being authentic by al-Bukhari and Muslim. And al-Hafiz rahimahullah mentions along with this hadith a second hadith which is reported by al-Hakim, a hadith reported by al-Hakim the sisters need 5 books. If there are some books in the back, in that bag, in the blue bag, if we can send 5 copies over to the sisters' side. Can somebody attend to that, please? 5 copies, send it to the sisters. Jazakallah khair. The second narration that is along with this is that which is reported by Al-Hakim. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أفطر في رمضان ناسيا فلا قضاء عليه ولا كفارة. And then Al-Hafiz says, وهو صحيح. Al-Hakim narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, whoever breaks the fast during Ramadan due to forgetfulness, then there is no qada, he doesn't have to make up that day, nor is there kafara, he doesn't have to expiate for it. A day in Ramadan, a person broke the fast due to forgetfulness. He's saying, فلا قضاء عليه. He doesn't have to make up that day. Or she doesn't have to make up that day. ولا كفارة, nor the expiation for it. And this narration, Al-Hafiz said, is sahih. Al-Hakim, says that it is sahih ala sharti Muslim. That it is authentic according to the conditions of authenticity of Al-Imam Muslim rahimahullah. ووافقه الذهبي, and Al-Imam الذهبي rahimahullah agreed with Al-Hakim, and Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah said isnaduhu hasan. So both of these narrations are authentic. One of them, من نسي وهو صائم, generally speaking, forgot while one is fasting. And the second one, من أفطر في رمضان, whoever broke their fast during Ramadan, specifically nasiyan, due to forgetfulness, and there is no makeup and there is no kafar. The Shaykh says from this hadith, ما يستفاد من الحديث, number one, إن الأكل والشرب, and he puts in parenthesis, والجماع من الناس لا يفسد السوم ولا يفطر به الصائم ولا قضاء عليه. That indeed eating and drinking, and according to some scholars also having sexual relations from the person who has forgotten, the person who did so, ate or drank forgetfully. And as he added here, sexual relations, which this is a topic that requires a lengthy discussion, but in any case, whoever has eaten or drinking or had sexual relations due to forgetfulness, لا يفسد الصوم, this does not invalidate the fast. ولا يفطر به الصائم, nor does the fasting person in doing so break their fast. It doesn't invalidate the fast, nor does he break his fast. ولا قضاء عليه, and there's no need, there's no obligation for him to make up for that day. Rather, the person should immediately stop once they realize it, when they remember, and they must complete the remainder of the day fasting. Second point, لا فرق في النسيان في الصوم بين الفريضة والنافلة, that there's no difference between the person who forgets during fasting, whether it is an obligatory fast or a voluntary fast. Whether it is obligatory fast or voluntary fast. And this is understood from the first hadith, من نسي وهو صائم, which is general. Whoever forgot while he's fasting, that's general. So that could be obligatory or voluntary fast. And the narration of Al-Hakim, من أفطر في رمضان ناسيا, whoever broke the fast during Ramadan due to forgetfulness, this is an obligatory fast. But there's no difference between whether it is voluntary or obligatory fast. Whoever has done so due to forgetfulness, then they must continue their fast and complete the remainder of the day, and they don't have to make up the day. Naam. And this position, or this understanding that they don't have to make up the day, is the opinion or the view of the majority of scholars, al-jumhur. The next hadith, in Arabic, hadith number 649, in English, hadith number 545, and it's the 19th hadith in this chapter. An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man dhara'ahu al-qay'u fala qada'a alayhi wa man istaqa'a fa'alayhi al-qada'u. Rawahu al-khamsatu wa a'allahu Ahmadu wa qawwahu ad-Darqutni. Na'am. On the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man dhara'ahu al-qay, yani dhara'a ay ghalabahu wa qarahahu bi ghayri qastin minhu, yani the person dhara'ahu al-qay means it overcame him bi ghayri qastin minhum, without any intention from him, yani the vomiting, it just occurred without yani him having any control over it. وَمَنْ ذَرَاهُ الْقَيْءِ, whoever this is their situation, that they were overcome by vomiting, فَلَا قَضَىٰ عَلَيْهِ, then they do not have to make up the fast. Yani they continue fasting and there's no makeup. وَمَنْ اسْتَقَاعَ, but whoever, yani قَصَدَ إِخْرَاجَ الْقَيْءِ مِنْ جَوْفِهِ بِإِخْتِيَارٍ مِنْهُ, yani the person who intended to force what was in their stomach to come out by choice, yani intentionally, whoever does that, مَنْ اسْتَقَاعَ فَعَلَيْهِ الْقَضَاءِ, then it is obligatory for that person to make up the day of fasting. And by the way, if a person invalidates their fast, yani, in a manner that is not lawful, they don't have a legitimate reason to break the fast, they must continue the fast anyway. Yani, it doesn't mean that now you have broken the fast, so let me finish eating for the rest of the day. No, because it's Ramadan. And Ramadan, the days of Ramadan are sacred, and a person can't just and he continue eating or drinking or whatever they're doing. And they still have to make up the day. Yani, whoever vomiting overcomes him involuntarily, there's no makeup. Whoever does it willfully, intentionally, then they have to make up the day. This hadith is reported by Al-Khamsa, that is Abu Dawud, Al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Nasa'i, and Al-Imam Ahmed. وَعَلَّهُ أَحْمَدُ, يعني Imam Ahmed rahimahullah considered this hadith to have a illah, يعني a defect in it, meaning that the hadith is not authentic. As far as Ad-Darqutni rahimahullah قَوَّاهُ, he considered this hadith to be, يعني the isnad to be qawi, that is, يعني an acceptable, reliable isnad, يعني that we can take a legal ruling from. As far as yani the authenticity of this hadith, Al-Hakim also mentions concerning this hadith that it is sahih ala shart al-shaykhain, yani that is authentic according to the conditions set by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And Al-Dhahabi agreed with him. And Shaykh Al-Albani said, huwa kama qala, it is as both of them have said, yani it is authentic according to the conditions of Al-Bukhari and Muslim. It is an authentic hadith. There's some difference of opinion about it. Allahu A'lam, it is authentic. From this hadith, the Shaykh mentions one ruling, that is, Al-Qay'u wal-hijamatu wal-ihtilamu la yufattiru. Yani, that the person who vomits involuntarily, and the person who has hijama done to them, as we mentioned last week in the hadith, the discussion concerning this, and al-ihtilam, if a person has a nocturnal emission, yani in their sleep they have emission of semen, then these things do not invalidate the fast. The first and the third of them are involuntary, and the second of them is voluntary, but the authentic hadith proved that it doesn't invalidate the fast. Amma al-istiqa, as far as the person who voluntarily, intentionally causes that which is in the stomach to come out by vomiting, wa talaba khuruj al-qay, and they actually made this happen, they caused it to happen, bi ikhtiyar as-sa'im, yani by choice of the person who is fasting, then this invalidates the fast. Yani the person who has done so intentionally. Yani vomiting involuntarily does not invalidate the fast. Intentionally it does. Tayyib. The next hadith is hadith number 650. 650 in Arabic, 546 in English. The 20th hadith in this section. An Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma. أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خرج عام الفتح إلى مكة في رمضان فصام حتى بلغ قراع الغميم فصام الناس. يعني جابر ابن عبد الله, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, both of them companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went out, yani on a journey, in the year of the Fath, the conquest of Mecca, going to Mecca, yani during Ramadan, and he was fasting until he reached a place called Qura'a al-Ghamim. Yani this is a valley on the road to Mecca, the road from Mecca to Medina. Yani on the road between Mecca and Medina, which is about 64 kilometers from Mecca. Yani when he reached that place, yani on the road between Mecca and Medina, the Prophet ﷺ was fasting up until that point, and the people were fasting. ثُمَّ دَعَى بِقَدَحٍ مِّن مَاءٍ. Yani ma'in here is meme with kasra, it should be fatha. ثُمَّ دَعَى بِقَدَحٍ مِّن مَاءٍ فَرَفَعَهُ حَتَّى نَظَرَ النَّاسِ إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ شَرِبَ. Yani the Prophet ﷺ at this point, he called for a cup or a glass of water and he raised it up until or so that the people may see it. And he may see that he has a cup in his hand and he's actually drinking, breaking his fast. ثُمَّ شَرِبَ. And then he drank. فَقِيلَ لَهُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ إِنَّ بَعْدَ النَّاسِ قَدْ صَامَ فَقَالَ أُولَٰئِكَ الْأُصَاتُ أولئك الأصات. يعني حديث رواه مسلم. يعني at this point, يعني in the journey, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم took a glass or a cup of water and he raised it up high so that the people would see it, and then he drank. And it was said to him, after that, some of the people, they have continued to fast. And he said, these are the disobedient ones. These are the disobedient ones. And this, any expression here, and this part of the hadith requires some discussion. We don't have a lot of time to discuss it, but the point is, yani the disobedience, as some of the scholars said here, is disobedience if a person's heart does not accept the permission of Allah, yani the ease, the facility of Allah, their heart doesn't accept it, even though Allah has allowed you to break your fast, and it is hardship on them, and they continue to fast with hardship, then this is disobedience, because Allah doesn't want hardship. And the Prophet ﷺ broke his fast out of compassion and sympathy for the people, as came in another narration of this hadith, is also reported by Imam Muslim. وَفِي لَفْظٍ, يعني from Imam Muslim, فَقِيلَ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ شَقَّ عَلَيْهِمْ السِّيَامُ وَإِنَّمَا يَنْتَظِرُونَ فِي مَا فَعَلْتَ فَدَعَى بِقَدَحٍ مِّن مَاءٍ بَعْدَ الْأَصْرِ. And the hadith in Sahih Muslim stops there. It doesn't mention drinking. But in the other narration, it does mention drinking. Here the word fashariba is not actually in Sahih Muslim in this narration. And in this narration, it says that yani when the Prophet reached this place in the journey, it was said to him that the people are finding difficulty with this fast. They are suffering on the journey in the desert, in the heat, and they are fasting. So somebody informed the Prophet ﷺ of this, so he drank. So the Prophet ﷺ, I mean, they said the people are suffering and they are waiting to see what you are going to do. Yani if the Prophet ﷺ keeps fasting, they don't want to break their fast. They're going to keep fasting even with difficulty and hardship. So they are waiting to see what you're going to do. So the Prophet ﷺ, out of compassion and sympathy and care for the people, he called for a cup or a glass of water. And this was after the Asr prayer, meaning most of the day was already gone. Yani they had fasted from Fajr until Asr, till after Asr. And the Prophet ﷺ, out of compassion for the people, he broke his fast, even at that late point, because the people were suffering. This narration is also from Imam Muslim. From this hadith, a number of points are mentioned. From amongst them, the Shaykh mentions the permissibility of breaking the fast during the daytime in Ramadan for one who is traveling. It's permissible to break the fast. Even if that person has fasted most of the day, as in that case they fasted up until after Asr. Even if the person has fasted most of the day. And likewise, وَمَنْ صَامَ فِي السَّفَرْ يُجْزِئُهُ صَوْمُهُ. Yani whoever fasted while they were traveling, then that fast, he is given credit for it. Yani it's not prohibited to fast such that if you fast, you don't get credit. Rather, if you do fast while you're traveling, that fasting counts. It counts. It is valid. The second point, whoever began the journey in the middle of the day in Ramadan and they were fasting, جَازَ لَهُ الْإِفْطَارِ. Yani, if they began the journey in the middle of the day, yani they were fasting because they were resident, and then in the middle of the day they started on a journey, then it's permissible for that person at that point to break the fast. Point number three. الْأَفْضَلْ فِي السِّيَامِ وَالْإِفْطَارُ فِي السَّفَرِ أَيْسَاؤُهُمَا عَلَى الْمُسَافِرِ. Yani, that which is better or preferable in terms of fasting or breaking the fast during a journey is the what, whichever of them is easier for the traveler. Whichever is easier. If a person finds ease in fasting, that's better for them. If a person finds yani ease in breaking the fast, then that's what is better for them. The fourth point, يتعين على المسافر الفطرة إذا أمره الإمام بذلك لمصلحة خاصة. Yani that it is obligatory upon the fasting person to break their fast if the Imam, the leader of the Muslims, command them to break their fast for some yani special benefit, some particular benefit. For example, yani the people were about to go to battle and the commander, the leader of the people, ordered them to break their fast so they would be strong to go into the battlefield or whatever it might be. Yani obedience to the leader. The fifth point, ينبغي للإمام الرفق بالرعية والشفقة عليهم. That it is incumbent, it is befitting, becoming of the Imam to be compassionate, to be gentle and easy with those under his care. Yani, this is from the responsibility of the Imam to be considerate of the people, to be compassionate and kind and gentle with the people. Here, yani, that's the end of the point. Here, there is the mention in another explanation of Bulugh al-Maram, there's a mention of a hadith which I want to mention here for benefit, and that is yani that in this hadith there's the point that breaking the fast for the one who finds difficulty in fasting is better. For the one who finds difficulty in fasting, then this is better, as came in another hadith, yani the hadith that's also reported by Imam Muslim, لَيْسَ مِنَ الْبِرِّ السِّيَامُ فِي السَّفَرِ. Yani, it is not righteousness. Yani, it is not obedience. It is not something that's beloved to Allah that a person fasts while they are in a journey. This hadith might be understood by some people to mean, then in that case it's better that you don't fast. If you're traveling, you should not fast. However, yani this hadith came in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and in the Sunan of Ad-Darimi and others, and Al-Imam An-Nawawi mentions the narration of this hadith with slightly different wording and its explanation. He says the Prophet ﷺ is reported that he said, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تَصُومُوا فِي السَّفْرِ. That it is not righteousness that you fast while you are traveling. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah says, أي إِذَا شَقَّ عَلَيْكُمْ وَخِفْتُمْ الدَّرَّ. Yani, that it's not righteousness to fast while you're traveling if it is difficult for you to fast while traveling. And if you fear that it will be a cause of harm. And some scholars said, if it will cause you to fail to fulfill some duties that are upon you because of the weakness of fasting during journey. In that case, then yes, there's no righteousness in fasting while you're traveling if it will cause harm to you, if it is difficult for you. Allah, يريد الله بكم اليسرى لا يريد بكم العسرى. Allah wants ease for you, He does not want difficulty for you. And Imam Nawawi says, سياق الحديث يقتديه هذا التأويل. This understanding is understood, is taken from the context of this hadith. And this particular narration of the hadith that Imam An-Nawawi is referring to here is مبينة للروايات المطلقة. Yani, it is making clear those narrations which are general. It is clarifying them. And that is, yani, in the narration here, also from Jabir, that's reported by Imam Muslim, he said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في السفر. And it is the context that the hadith came in. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في السفر. The Prophet was on a journey, صلى الله عليه وسلم. فرأى رجلا قد اجتمع الناس عليه وقد ظلل عليه. So he saw a man that the people had gathered around and they began to shade him. فقال ما له. The Prophet said, what's with him? قالوا رجل صائم. He is fasting. He's a man who is fasting. Yani he was fasting while traveling, it overcame him, it was too much, he couldn't take it. So the people had to gather around him and shade him. He was suffering. In this context, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَيْسَ الْبِرْ أَن تَسُومُوا فِي السَّفَرِ. That is not righteousness to fast while traveling, meaning while a person is suffering from that fasting on a journey and experiencing hardship. That hadith is not in the book. It's another narration from Sahih Muslim that Imam Nawawi commented on. Another narration also in Sahih Muslim. Here I just want to quickly mention, and I know that the time is short, but I want to quickly mention concerning this, Al-Imam At-Tirmidhi, in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, when he mentions this hadith, he talks about the difference of opinion concerning fasting or breaking the fast while on a journey. He said that there is اِخْتَلَفَ أَحْلَ الْعِلْمِ فِي السَّوْمِ فِي السَّفَرِ. The scholars differed concerning fasting while traveling. فَرَى بَعْضُ أَحْلَ الْعِلْمِ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَغَيْرِهِمْ. That some of the companions of the Prophet, scholars from the companions of the Prophet and others besides them, held the view that breaking the fast in a journey is better. To break the fast is better. Even some of them held that if a person fasted while they were traveling, that they have to repeat the fast. And this is the chosen opinion of Al-Imam Ahmed and Al-Imam Ishaq ibn Rahuway, yani that breaking the fast during a journey is better. At-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, mentions, وَقَالَ بَعْدُ أَهْلَ الْعِلْمِ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَغَيْرِهِمْ. And other scholars from amongst the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and others besides them held another view, and that is that if a person found strength while they were fasting on a journey and then they fasted, فَحَسَنٌ, then this is good, وَهُوَ أَفْضَلُ, and this is even better. And this is the second opinion of some of the companions and some of the scholars from those who came after them. And if they broke their fast, this is also good. And this is the saying of Sufyan al-Thawri and Malik ibn Anis and Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahumullah, great scholars, yani from amongst the Salaf. And a third opinion, al-Tirmidhi, he mentions the opinion of al-Shafi. He said that indeed the meaning of this hadith, laysa min al-birr al-siyam fi safar, that is not righteousness to fast while traveling. And also the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, ulaik al-usat, those who didn't break their fast when he did, that they are disobedient. He said the meaning of this is when the person's heart has not accepted the permission that Allah has given to facilitate them, to make ease for them. They didn't accept it, and even though there was hardship in fasting, they continued to fast anyway after Allah had given them permission to break the fast. He said then this is in reference to them, that there's no righteousness in fasting in that condition, and that these people are the disobedient. Otherwise, Al-Imam al-Shafi said, فَأَمَّا مَنْ رَأَى الْفِطْرَ مُبَاحًا وَصَامَ وَقَوِيَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ فَهُوَ أَعْجَبُ إِلَيَّ. يعني Al-Imam al-Shafi said, but whoever sees that breaking the fast while traveling is permissible, they believe that it's permissible, it's Allah has given permission, but yet they fasted anyway because they found that they have the strength to fast, then this is more pleasing to me, yani, said Al-Imam al-Shafi. After this, the next hadith, the 21st hadith, yani in Arabic it's hadith number 651, in English 547, عن حمزة ابن عمرو الأسلمي رضي الله عنه أنه قال يا رسول الله إني أجد في قوة على الصيام في السفر فهل علي جناح. يعني حمزة ابن عمرو الأسلمي, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that I said, O Messenger of Allah, indeed I find in myself strength, يعني the ability to fast while traveling. فَهَلْ عَلَيَّ جُنَاحٌ, so is there any sin upon me for fasting while traveling? The Prophet ﷺ said, فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ هِيَ رُخْصَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ فَمَنْ أَخَذَ بِهَا فَحَسَنٌ وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يَسُومَ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said, it is a permission, a rukhsa from Allah to break the fast while you're traveling. So whoever takes that permission, then this is hasanun, this is good. They have done well. And whoever loves, prefers to fast even while they are traveling, then there is no blame on them. This hadith رواه مسلم وأصله في المتفق عليه من حديث عائشة أن حمزة ابن عمرو سأل. يعني the hadith is reported by Imam Muslim, and the asl of this hadith, يعني the core meaning of it, is found in the narration of both Bukhari and Muslim, both of them, from the hadith of Aisha. يعني this is the hadith of Hamza ibn Amr, but in the hadith of Aisha, that's reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim, the same narration came with a little different wording. Naam. And there's also a weak narration, يعني, that I just want to bring to our attention, يعني, in which it's mentioned, يعني, in Abu Dawood, it's mentioned that he, يعني, the Hamza radiallahu anhu, said, يعني, that I find it easier for me, أحوان علي, to fast than to delay the fast, and then it will be, يعني, a debt upon me that I have to make up later. He said, I find it easier to fast. And then, يعني, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أي ذلك شتى يا حمزة, يعني whichever one you want to do, it's up to you. However, this hadith, I'm just bringing to our attention that this narration is weak. One more narration that's reported by al-Bukhari, يعني from حمزة ibn Amr al-Aslami, in the narration of Bukhari, the wording is, يعني that حمزة radiallahu anhu, he asked the Prophet, أَصُومُ فِي السَّفَرْ, shall I fast in traveling? يعني I prefer to fast, is it okay for me to fast? وَكَانَ كَثِيرَ السِّيَامِ, and he was a person who used to fast a lot. فَقَالَ إِن شِئْتَ فَسُمْ وَإِن شِئْتَ فَأَفْتِرْ, the Prophet ﷺ said to him, if you like, then fast, and if you like, then break the fast. This hadith is reported in Al-Bukhari, hadith number 1943 in Bab al-Siyam fi al-Safar wal-Iftar. Yani, from this hadith, the Shaykh mentions two points. Number one, that the traveling person is مُخَيِّر, has a choice between fasting or breaking the fast. وَهَذَا رَاجِعٌ إِلَى مَشِيَّتِهِ, and the decision to fast or break the fast goes back to what he wills to do, whatever he wants to do. The second point is the permissibility, yani this is the point, yani that, yani the Shaykh has mentioned here, Allahu A'lam, he said permissibility of fasting, yani siyam al-dahr, yani fasting all the time, the whole year. بِشَرْط and la yus'ab and la yud'af al-badan, yani with the condition that it doesn't cause you, the body, to be harmed, to become weak. وَلَا يَفُوتُ بِسَبَبْهِ حَقٌّ, and that, yani some obligation is not left unfulfilled due to you fasting all the time. And that you break the fast on the two Eids and the days of Tashriq, and this is the opinion of As-San'ani rahimahullah, yani Muhammad ibn Ali As-San'ani, the author of Subul As-Salam, the explanation of Bulugh al-Maram. However, yani quickly, yani we want to yani clarify this particular ruling. Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz rahimahullah was asked, is it permissible for the Muslim to fast all the days of the year completely, or is this something bid'ah? The Sheikh, he said rahimahullah, la yanbaghi an yasumu, it is not proper that one should do so, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, la sama wa la aftara, la sama man sama al-abad, yani that the person who fasts all the time, every day, they have not fasted, nor have they broken the fast. And what is, yani the least that we can say about this, is that it is makruh, yani kiraha shadida, it is very severely disliked. La yanbaghi, for anybody, it's not proper that anybody should fast every day. And afdal dhalika, the best thing is that a person fast a day and break the fast a day. And this is the best fast that anyone can do. Yani fasting one day and breaking fast one day. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is afdal as-siyam wa huwa-siyam Dawood, Nabiyullah alayhi salatu wa salam. This is the best fast. Not fasting every day, but fasting every other day. This is the fast of Dawood, the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam. And if a person fasts on Mondays and Thursdays, that's sufficient. Or if a person fasts for 3 days out of the month, this is tayyib. And if a person didn't fast, yani other than Ramadan, there's no blame on them. It is not obligatory for anyone to fast except in Ramadan, unless a person has an obligatory, yani expiation or vow that they made. This is an exception to it. Otherwise, it is not obligatory on anyone in the Sharia of Islam to fast except Ramadan. So whoever would love to fast, then fast on Mondays and Thursdays, or the 6 days of Shawwal, or fasting a day and breaking a fast, and all of this is tayyib. Yani, as far as fasting the whole year, Yani, this is something that is better to leave alone. Even if the person avoids fasting the day of Eid and the days of Tashriq, this opinion is yani, not a strong opinion. After this, the time that we have, na'am. After this, hadith number, yani the 22nd hadith in this chapter, hadith number 652 in Arabic, 548 in English, hadith of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, qala, rukhisa lishaykhi al-kabiri, an yuftira wa yut'ima an kulli yawmin miskina, wa la qada'a alayhi, rawahu ad-Darqutni wal-hakim, wa sahahahahu, yani both of them declared it to be Sahih. Yani Abdul ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said permission was given to the older yani man and the older woman, yani the elderly person, advanced in age. Permission was given to them to yani yut'im an kulli yawm miskina, yani to break their fast and to feed a poor person. And if a person has to fulfill the fidya, yani because they were unable to fast due to old age or for whatever reason that's acceptable in Islam, you have to feed a poor person. You can't come to the masjid on one day in Ramadan and feed everybody in the masjid and say that's my 30 days, because everybody in the masjid is not poor. You have to feed poor people only. Yani Ibn Abbas said, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, that the old man and the old woman have been given permission to break their fast during Ramadan and to feed a poor person for every day that they didn't fast. وَلَا قَضَاءَ عَلَيْهِ قَضَاء, they don't have to make up the fast. This hadith reported by Ad-Darqutni and Al-Hakim, and both of them said that it is sahih. And Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, and Irwa Al-Ghalil said isnaduhu sahih. The Shaykh mentions from this hadith 3 points. The first point, the Muslims were in the beginning, in the early days of Islam, they were given the choice between fasting in Ramadan or al-iftar ma'al-fidya, breaking the fast and the fidya, feeding a poor person. Fidyatun ta'amul miskin, as Allah mentioned in the Quran. They were given a choice. That's in the beginning of the obligation of fasting. Then this ayat was abrogated, and that permission for the people in general was abrogated, except that it remained for some people, and that is what Ibn Abbas is saying here, the elderly man and the elderly woman, and as some of the scholars said, also the breastfeeding woman and the pregnant woman if they found difficulty in fasting. And this is a matter of difference of opinion. Inshallah, we'll discuss it in brief. First point is that in the beginning, the people were given a choice. Everybody was given a choice to fast or break the fast. And if you break the fast, feed a poor person for every day that you didn't fast. And then that general permission, that general choice was abrogated. Second point, يجوز الإفطار الشيخ الحرم والعجوز الكبيرة التي يشق عليها الصيام والمريض الذي لا يرجى شفاؤه وعليهم إطعام مسكين عن كل يوم. يعني that is permissible for the elderly, يعني old age man and elderly woman who find difficulty in fasting, and likewise with them the sick person who has no hope of being cured from their sickness. Yani a person who has a sickness that's not going to last for 3 days or 1 week or 1 year, rather there's no expectation that they're going to be cured. Yani they have a sickness that they expected to have for the rest of their life, which prevents them from fasting. They come under the same rule as the elderly man, the elderly woman. Yani it is incumbent upon them to feed a poor person for every day not fasted. Point number three. Now this is the point of yani great difference of opinion. Al-hamil wal-murdi' إذا خافتا على أنفسهما أو على ولدهما تفطران وتقضيان. يعني the pregnant woman and the breastfeeding woman, if they fear harm to themselves or harm to their child, then they may break the fast and they have to يعني do قضاء, make up the days. And this is because the حكم of these two people, the pregnant lady and the breastfeeding lady, is the same ruling as the حكم of the sick person, according to the Hanafiya, according to the Hanafi madhab. Except they have to make up the day. According to Hanafi madhab, they have to make up the day unless they continued to have pregnancy and breastfeeding Yani, one after another. Yani, within a short period of time. They're pregnant, and then they're breastfeeding, and they became pregnant again, and breastfeeding again. Yani, in this case, this woman, Yani, حُكْمُهَا حُكْمُ الْعَجُوزَ الْكَبِيرِ. Their ruling is the same as the elderly, Yani, old age person who finds difficulty in fasting. That is, Yani, what do they have to do? If they fear for themselves or they fear for their child, they can break their fast, and they feed for every day that they didn't fast a poor person. No makeup. As far as the other three imams, Yani, that is Al-Imam Malik and Al-Imam Shafi and Al-Imam Ahmed rahimahumullah, then according to them, the breastfeeding woman and the pregnant lady, if they break the fast, then they have to feed, Yani, a poor person for every day, and in addition to that, they have to make up the days, Wallahu A'lam. And they have to feed, and they have to also make up the days. Concerning this particular matter, Yani, there's a lengthy discussion concerning it. We don't have time to go into the whole discussion, but briefly, Yani, Al-Imam Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, in his tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah, 183rd and 184th ayat, to the end of the ayat, Yani, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامُ الْمِسْكِينَ, then for the one who finds difficulty in fasting, Yani, meaning the elderly man, the elderly woman, then it is upon them the fidya, that is feeding, ta'amu miskin, feeding food to a poor person. And by the way, Yani, it's not permissible, according to the majority of the scholars, it's not permissible that the fidya for a person who doesn't fast, they're feeding a poor person, that it be paid in money. It's not permissible. It has to be food, according to the majority of scholars. Okay, so Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, he talks about what Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says concerning this ayat and how it was abrogated in general, Yani, the people having the choice to fast or break the fast and feed, and except that it was still applicable to the old man and the old woman, that they may break their fast and feed for every day a poor person. And he mentions, Yani, some narrations and some discussion concerning this, and at the end of it, he says, and I'm reading this especially because a couple of years ago, I don't remember when, we were reading this tafsir from the Mukhtasar of Ibn Kathir that was done by Dar es Salaam and is translated into English. And in the end of this discussion, they mention one of the four opinions that Ibn Kathir mentions, one of them only. And there are four opinions, and that's why I want to read this to clarify this issue. Ibn Kathir says, in reference to the elderly man and the elderly woman, Yani, they are allowed to feed a poor person for every day, and they don't have to make up days. He said, وَمِمَّا يَلْتَحِقُ بِهَذَا الْمَعْنَى الْحَامِلُ وَالْمُرْضِعَ إِذَا خَافَتَا عَلَى أَنفُسِهَا أَوْ وَلَدَيْهِمَا فَفِيهِمَا خِلَافٌ كَثِيرٌ بَيْنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Yani, that from those people who are joined in the ruling of the elderly man and the elderly woman is the pregnant woman and the breastfeeding woman. If they fear for themselves or for their children, then there's khilaf, wa alaykum salam, there's a great difference of opinion, khilaf kathir, between the scholars concerning what is their ruling. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir mentions four opinions of the scholars concerning this. And these four opinions cover every possibility that there could be, which shows that what? That some scholars took every one of these opinions. Yani, the difference of opinion was so severe that every possible possibility of what could be the ruling here, somebody took it. So Ibn Kathir says, some of the scholars said that the pregnant woman and the breastfeeding lady, they break their fast, and they have to feed a person for every day, and they also have to make up the days. They have to feed and make up the days. وَقِيلَ, another opinion is that they يَفْدِيَانْ فَقَدْ, that they only have to feed a person for every day, وَلَا قَضَىٰ, and they do not make up the day. And the third opinion, قِيلَ يَجِبُ الْقَضَاءَ بِلَا فِدْيَةٍ, that it is obligatory upon them to make up the day, and they don't feed anybody, just making up the day. And the قِيلَ, the fourth opinion, يُفْتِرَانِ وَلَا فِدْيَةَ وَلَا قَضَاءَ, that they break the fast, and they don't have to feed anybody, and they don't have to make up the day. This is what Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir said. We discussed this in another place in detail. In any case, these are four opinions Wallahu A'lam, the opinion that the people who summarized Ibn Kathir for Dar es Salaam, the opinion that they mentioned is the second opinion, that the pregnant woman and breastfeeding lady, if they fear for themselves or their child, they have to feed a poor person for every day and they don't have to make up the day. And this is the opinion of some of the scholars, as Ibn Kathir mentioned, and it is of the contemporary scholars, it's the opinion of Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani. And from the proofs that he mentions concerning this, or many, I'll just read a few of them that are crystal clear concerning this second view, that the pregnant woman and the breastfeeding lady, if they find difficulty in fasting and fear for themselves or their child, that they merely have to feed a poor person for every day and they do not have to make up the fast. He mentions in Irwa al-Ghalil, in 4th volume, page 18, 19, and 20, and the discussion goes beyond that. He mentions first, Al-Imam al-Tabari, Ibn Jarir, in his tafsir, mentions this ayat and the discussion from it, and he mentions that Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, said that Allah has given permission to the elderly man and the elderly woman, if they find difficulty in fasting, that they may that they may break the fast, and there is no makeup for them. And this ruling is confirmed for the elderly man and the elderly woman, if they are not able to fast. And Ibn Jarir al-Tabri, he mentions, وَالْحُبْلَ وَالْمُرْضِعَ إِذَا خَافَتَ أَفْطَرَتَ وَأَطْعَمَتَ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مِسْكِينَ. And he mentions here that Ibn Abbas says that also the pregnant woman and the breastfeeding woman, if they fear, harm, then they may break their fast and they may feed a person for every day. And the Shaykh mentions a lengthy discussion concerning this, and then he says, At-Tabari also mentions in another narration, in his tafsir, from Ibn Abbas, again, radiallahu anhuma, إِذَا خَافَتْ الْحَامِلُ عَلَى نَفْسِهَا وَالْمُرْضِي عَلَى وَلَدِهَا فِي رَمَضَانَ, specifically, he said, قَالَ يُفْتِرَانَ وَيُطْعِمَانَ مَكَانَ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مِسْكِينَ وَلَا يَقْضِيَانَ سَوْمًا. And this is the point. Ibn Abbas said, if the pregnant woman and the breastfeeding woman fear for herself or her child during Ramadan, they may break their fast and they may feed for every day a poor person and they do not make up the day. Ibn Abbas said, and they do not make up the day. Shaykh al-Albani said, Isnaduhu sahih ala shart Muslim. And this narration of Ibn Abbas is sahih according to the traditions of Imam Muslim. At-Tabari mentions in another narration of Ibn Abbas, and I'm trying to go through it quickly, he said that Ibn Abbas saw waladin lahu, the mother of one of his children, hamilan aw murdi'an, pregnant or breastfeeding, and he said, anti bimanzilati alladhi la yutiqu, you are in the same position as those who are not able to fast, meaning the elderly man and the elderly woman, alayki an tut'imi makana kulli yawmin miskina wa la qada'a alayki. Ibn Abbas said what? That you are in the same position as elderly man, elderly woman. You must, you can break your fast and you have to feed a poor person for every day and there's no makeup upon you. And he also added another narration, أَنَّهَذَا إِذَا خَافَتْ عَلَى نَفْسِهَا. That is, if they have fear of harm coming to them. Not if the pregnant woman or breastfeeding woman is able to fast without any difficulty. Likewise, Al-Imam Ad-Darqutni, rahimahullah, mentions similar narration from Abdul ibn Abbas that anti min alladhina la yutiquna as-siyam, that mother of his child, are from those who are not able to fast. Alayki al-jaza'u wa laysa alayki al-qada'u. Clear language. It is incumbent upon you the jaza', meaning the fidya, to feed a poor person, and it is not incumbent upon you to make up the day. Qala Darqutni, isnaduhu sahih. And then Ad-Darqutni mentions from another isnad from Sayyid ibn Jubair, from Ibn Abbas and Ibn Umar, that they both said, Al-Hamil wal-Murdi tuftira wa la taqdi, that the pregnant woman and the breastfeeding woman, that they break their fast and they do not have to make up the day. And Darqutni said, wa hadha sahihun. At-Tabari also mentions, in his tafsir, from Nafi, from Abdullah ibn Umar, the same saying of Abdullah ibn Abbas concerning the pregnant woman and the breastfeeding woman. Shaykh al-Albani said, Sanaduhu sahih. Ad-Darqutni also mentions that which is narrated from Abdullah ibn Umar. And the Imra'atuhu Sa'alatuhu, yani his wife asked him while she was pregnant, وَهِيَ hubla. فَقَالَ, he said to her, yani she asked him, is there any permission to break the fast? He said, أَفْتَرِي وَعَفْعِمِي عَنْ كُلِّ يَوْمِ مِسْكِينًا وَلَا تَقْضِي. Clear language. Break your fast and feed a person, poor person, for every day that you didn't fast, and there's no makeup upon you. And Shaykh al-Albani said, إِسْنَادُهُ جَيِّد. And finally from Nafi, yani the Mawla of Ibn Umar, he said, كانت بنت لابن عمر, not his wife, the daughter of Ibn Umar, she was yani the wife of a man from the Quraysh, كانت حاملا, she was pregnant, فأصابها عطش في رمضان, and she was struck with thirst, severe thirst during Ramadan, فأمرها Ibn Umar, he commanded her, أن تفطر وتطعم عن كل يوم مسكينة, and he ordered her to break her fast and to feed a poor person for every day, وإسناده صحيح. And its isnad is sahih. And these are a few of the narrations that are mentioned here. And the purpose of mentioning them is for us to understand that yes, there's difference of opinion. However, yani Abdul ibn Abbas and Abdul ibn Umar have various, yani innumerable narrations that are authentic, clearly stating that there's no makeup for the pregnant woman or the breastfeeding woman if they break the fast due to need or necessity for fear of harm to their self or their child. We still have a few hadith to remain, so let me go on quickly to the 23rd hadith in this chapter. In Arabic is hadith number 653. In English is hadith number 549. An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu qala, Ja'a rajulun ila nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faqala, halaqtu ya rasulallah. Qala, wa ma ahlakaka? Qala, wa qa'atu ala imra'ati fi ramadhan. Yani Abu Hurairah narrates that a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, I have been destroyed, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said to him, and what has destroyed you? He said, I have had sexual intercourse with my wife during Ramadan. The Prophet ﷺ said to him, هَلْ تَجِدُ مَا تُعْتِقُ رَقَبَةً? Do you find that with which you may free a slave? Yani do you have the money to free a slave? قَالَ لَا. Nope, I don't have it. قَالَ فَهَلْ تَسْتَطِيعُ أَن تَصُومَ شَهْرَيْنِ مُتَتَابِعَيْنِ? The Prophet ﷺ said, in that case, then are you able to fast for 2 months consecutively? Yani the Prophet is asking him and believing him. He said, I don't have the money to free a slave. He asked him, can you fast for 2 consecutive months? I can't do it. قَالَ لَا. قَالَ, the Prophet ﷺ believed him. He said, قَالَ فَهَلْ تَجِدُ مَا تُطْعِمُ سِتِّينَ مِسْكِينًا? Then do you find, do you have that with which you can feed 60 poor people, not 60 people in the masjid, poor people? قَالَ لَا. He said, I don't have anything even to feed people. ثُمَّ جَلَسَ. Then he sat. فَأُتِيَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِعَرَقٍ فِيهِ تَمْرًا. Then a big container, a big basket, and a woven basket was brought to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم containing dates. فَقَالَ. The Prophet said to that man, and he gave it to him and said, تَصَدَّقْ بِهَذَا. Give this in charity, yani to poor people. فَقَالَ أَعَلَى أَفْقَرَ مِنَّا. Yani the man said, yani shall I give it to somebody who's more poor than we, yani than me and my family? فَمَا بَيْنَ لَبَتَيْهَا أَهْلُ بَيْتٍ أَحْوَجُ إِلَيْهَا مِنَّا. Yani there's nobody between the two sides of Medina, حَرْ الشَّرْقِيَ and غَرْبِيَ. There's nobody in the city of Medina that's more in need of this, yani poorer than me and my family. فَضَحِكَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَتَّى بَدَتْ أَنْيَابُهُ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم laughed until his canine teeth, premolar teeth, became visible. Yani he laughed until his teeth were seen, yani in the back of his mouth, yani halfway back. ثُمَّ قَالَ اِذْهَبْ فَأَطْعِمْهُ أَهْلَكَ. The Prophet said, go and feed your family. رَوَاهُ السَّبْعَةُ وَاللَّفْظُ لِلْمُسْلِمِ. This is narrated by the seven, yani the four Kutub al-Sunan and Bukhari and Muslim and Ahmed, and the wording here is from Al-Imam Muslim. The Shaykh mentions 8 points from this hadith. 8 points. And probably the adhan is going to be called in 2 minutes or so. So yani we'll stop and then continue with what remains, which is yani inshallah very little. The first point, the obligation of kafara upon the one who has sexual relations during the daytime in Ramadan, whether they are rich or poor. The second point, the expiation, the kafara of the person who has had sexual relations with their spouse in the daytime in Ramadan, it is the freeing of a believing slave, or fasting for 2 consecutive months, or feeding 60 poor people ala tartib, in that order. Wujub al-tartib, point number 3, that this order is obligatory in the kafara, and it is not yani credited if a person goes from the first one to the second one while they have the ability to do the first one. If a person has the ability to free a slave, they must free a slave. If they have the ability to fast 60, yani 2 consecutive months, they can't say it's easier for me to feed people. No, you have to fast, unless you are not able to. Attaqullah, yani Allah knows. Naam. The third point, the obligation, wujub al-tartib fil kafara, fala yujzi al-udul ila al-thani ma imkan al-awwal. Yani that adhering to this order of freeing a slave, fasting for 2 consecutive months, or feeding 60 people, adhering to this order is obligatory, and it does not yani fulfill the duty. It is not credited if a person skips from the first to the second while they have ability to do the first. Point number 4, جواز الأكل من طعام الكفار لمن وجبت عليه إذا كان فقيرا. That is permissible to eat from the food of the kafara for the person who it is obligated to fulfill the kafara. It's permissible for that person to eat from it if that person was poor. Point number 5. Wujub al-kafara ala al-mara, that is also obligatory for the kafara, yani upon the woman, if that woman participated voluntarily in having marital relations with her husband during the daytime of Ramadan. As far as the woman who is forced, yani against her will, then there's no kafara upon her. And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pardoned the person who did something out of forgetfulness, or the person who has been compelled to do something against their will, the person who did something يعني المخطي mistakenly. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إن الله تجاوز عن أمتي الخطأ والنسيان وما استقره عليه, that Allah has pardoned, passed over for my ummah their mistake, their forgetfulness, and what they are compelled to do, in the hadith the sahih reported by Ibn Majah. Point number 6, that it is mustahab, يعني commendable, praiseworthy, beloved by Allah, to be gentle with the muta'allim. Person who is learning, be gentle with the muta'allim. Point number 7, the permissibility of a person informing, yani bima yaqa baynahu wa bayn ahlihi li haja, yani informing someone else about what has occurred between him and his wife, if there was a need to do so. Meaning that if there's no need to do so, it's not permissible to discuss these matters with other people. Point number 8, قبول قول المكلف فيما لا يمكن الإطلاع عليه إلا من جهته. That it is, yani you accept whatever is said by the person who is held responsible for some duty, and you accept their word about the matter, if there's no way to know the truth of it, except from them. Yani the Prophet accepted that man when he told him, I can't free a slave, that I can't yani fast for 2 months, that I can't feed 60 poor people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted that from him, since there was no other way yani to come to know the matter. Okay, hadith number 24 and 25, last two hadith. This hadith, 24th hadith, is hadith number 654 in Arabic, 550 in English. An Aisha wa Salamata radiyallahu anhuma, and the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kana yusbihu junuban min jima'in ثم يغتسل ويصوم, متفق عليه. وزاد مسلم في حديث سلمة رضي الله عنها ولا يقضي, يعني Aisha and سلمة, may Allah be pleased with both of them, they said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to reach the morning, يعني the fajr would overtake him while he was junub, يعني he was in a state of major يعني impurity from having sexual relations, and then he would, after fajr, after the break of dawn, he would take a ghusl and he would fast, even though yani the fajr came upon him and he had intention to fast, but he was junub. Nonetheless, he took a ghusl and he fasted. This hadith is muttafaqun alayhi, agreed upon as authentic by Bukhari and Muslim. And in the narration of Muslim, from the hadith of Salama, he has the additional wording, وَلَا يَقْضِي. And if a person fast on that day in which they reach the morning in a state of junub, yani they fast, the fast is valid and they do not have to make up the day. 2 points from this hadith: the correctness, the validity of fast, the fast of the person who reached the morning in a state of janaba from sexual relations or other than that. And this view, yani, is clear from the hadith and it's the saying of the majority of scholars. The second point, the permissibility of having sexual intercourse, sexual relations with one's spouse during the nights of Ramadan. Yani, it's permissible to have sexual relations with one's spouse during the nights of Ramadan. And the last hadith, yani the 25th hadith in this chapter, hadith number 655 in Arabic, 551 in English, an Aisha radiyallahu anha, anna Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, man mata wa alayhi siyamun sama anhu waliyuhu, muttafaqun alayhi. Yani Aisha said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever died while they had the obligation of a fast, yani obligatory fast, then their wali must fast on their behalf. And this hadith and its understanding and the rulings from it, yani, is a little complex and we don't have a lot of time, but anyway, we'll try to summarize it as best we can. Yani, the Shaykh says concerning this hadith, point number one, what is apparent from the hadith is that it's obligatory to make up the fast for the dead person. That is obligatory. That's what's apparent from the hadith. If they have an obligatory fast upon them that they didn't do before they died. Otherwise, even though that's the apparent meaning of the hadith, ادَّعَى الْإِجْمَاعَ عَلَى النَّدَبِ, yani it is claimed that there's consensus of the scholars that it's not obligatory, but rather that it is mandub. That it is commendable, praiseworthy, yani that the fast be made up for the person who died with some obligation upon them. The second point, the permissibility of a niyaba fil hajji with sawm, yani that is permissible for somebody to perform pilgrimage or to fast on behalf of another person. And this is also, yani he included hajj here because it's mentioned in other narrations, yani that a lady came to the Prophet ﷺ and said that my father or my mother had hajj upon me, shall I make it up? And the Prophet ﷺ said, if they had a debt, would you make it up? I mean, would you pay it for them? She said, yes. He said, the right of Allah, the debt of Allah has more right that it be paid in hajj and in fasting. And yani, paying a person's debt is from the rulings that are mentioned under this, the lengthy discussion of this hadith, paying a person's debt, whether you're a relative or otherwise, and also a child giving sadaqah on behalf of their parents, and not other people giving sadaqah on behalf, yani giving sadaqah on behalf of other than your parents. And this is because there are textual proofs concerning some of these matters. Otherwise, the dead person, when they died, it's not permissible to do acts of worship for them unless there's a proof for it, for that specific thing. Point number three, الْوَلِي هُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَلَّى أَدَاءَ السِّيَامَ عَلَى الْمَيِّتِ, yani the wali, the god, the relative of the person who died, is the one who should fulfill the fast for the dead person, and that dead person is given credit for the obligation of fasting that they missed. Yani al-Imam Nawawi says al-wali, it means al-qarib, any relative. And some scholars said it means the one who inherits, yani a certain portion of your wealth, and some scholars said it means the one who inherits without any specific portion, yani they take whatever is remaining. And the correct opinion, according to al-Imam Nawawi, is that it's any relative, yani may, yani fulfill that debt. Okay, here al-Imam Nawawi, in this hadith, he has a lengthy discussion. I'm just going to read a little bit of it, although, yani, there's a number of important points here. But from what he said, the scholars, Imam Nawawi says in the explanation of Sahih Muslim, the scholars differ concerning the dead person who has an obligatory fast upon them from Ramadan, or making up a day, or a vow that they made, or other than that. The scholars said, هَلْ يُقْضَى عَنْهُ, is that to be made up, that fast, is it to be made up? And at Shafi, yani Imam Nawawi is from the Shafi Madhab, he said that Imam Shafi, concerning this issue, has two well-known opinions. The most famous of them is that no one should fast for the dead person who has an obligation of fasting that they didn't fulfill. وَلَا يَصِحُّ عَنَ الْمَيِّتْ ثَوْمٍ أَصْلًا, and that is not valid originally it's not even valid to fast for a dead person. The second opinion of Imam Shafi, يُسْتَحَبُّ لِوَلِيِّهِ أَنْ يَسُومُ عَنْهُ, that it is commendable for the wali of that person to fast on their behalf, وَيَصِحُّ صَوْمُهُ عَنْهُ وَيَبْرَأُ بِهِ الْمَيِّتِ, and that fast, that somebody fasts for him, is valid, and the dead person is exonerated or cleared because يعني, of the fast of someone who fasts on the behalf, وَلَا يَحْتَاج إِلَى إِطْعَامْ عَنْهُ, and it's not necessary to feed any person for him. Al-Imam Nawawi says the second opinion, that is mustahab for the wali of the person who died with an obligatory fast upon them. He said that opinion, that is mustahab to fast on the behalf, هذا القول هو الصحيح المختار الذي نعتقده, this is what is correct, this is the chosen opinion that we believe in. وهو الذي صححه محقق أصحابنا الجامعون بين الفقه والحديث لهذه الحديث الصحيحة الصريحة. And he said this is the this opinion is the opinion that has been declared to be correct by the meticulous scholars of our madhab who joined between the fiqh and hadith, yani who were scholars in fiqh of the madhab and scholars of hadith as well, based upon these ahadith as-sahih as-sariha, yani the hadith which are authentic and they are clear. And he mentioned some other points, but in any case I'm going to stop here and just make one point, and that is he said that their opinion, and this is the correct opinion, that fast should be made up by their guardian. He said that due to هذه الحديث الصحيحة الصريحة. Why does he qualify the hadith with these two qualifications? الصحيحة الصريحة. I'm asking a question. Why does he qualify it with two qualifications? Why doesn't he just say الحديث الصحيحة?
It has to be clear as well.
Because it has to be clear as well, okay? Yani meaning, a little bit more detail, it's correct. It has to be clear as well, meaning. Yani meaning that if the hadith is sahih, but it doesn't clearly indicate the point under discussion, that's not sufficient. Or the hadith might be sarih. It could clearly indicate this point, but it's not sahih. So either one of them by itself is not sufficient. Rather, a hadith has to be sahih and sarih. And this is a very important point, because sometimes people bring a hadith that's right on point, but it's not authentic. Or sometimes they bring a hadith that's sahih, but it doesn't really indicate this. And it doesn't bring this meaning. So this is why Imam Nawawi said, this is what is indicated by the hadith, which are both sahih and sarih. And then he says, and as far as the hadith, من مات وعليه صيام أطعم عنه, and whoever dies while he has an obligatory fast upon him, then feed someone for him, فليس بثابت. He said this hadith is not authentic. And this is the end of what I wanted to say, except I'm going to make one final point. And that is, if somebody was to go back to yani discussion of this hadith in Ahkam al-Janaiz by Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, when he talks about what might benefit the dead person. Yani what does the dead person benefit from? Yani he has a lengthy discussion concerning the things that a dead person may benefit from, with the proofs and the discussion of the ikhtilaf. And from amongst the things that a dead person will benefit from is yani mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that all the disease of a person is cut off when they die, illa min thalatha, yani meaning sadaqa jariya, ongoing charity, ilm, yantafiya bi, yani knowledge that he leaves behind the people benefit from, and waladin salih yad'u lahu, a righteous child that supplicates for that dead person. And the third, I mean this one, the righteous child that supplicates, is very dear to us. Whoever has children, yani it's incumbent upon us to raise our children properly, so that if we die, our righteous children will supplicate for us. He didn't say any child supplicating for you. He said, waladun salih. Perhaps you have many children, and they might even supplicate for you, but if they're not salih, what's the benefit? If they're not salih, Shaykh al-Albani says, concerning this hadith here, he said that the opinion of Aisha radiallahu anha and Abdul ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma is that this hadith, that if a person dies, وَعَلَيْهِ سِيَامٍ, and that person has an obligatory fast upon them, يَعْنِ صَامَ عَنْهُ وَلِيُّهُ, it means a vow. It means a vow. From other narrations, Aisha radiallahu anhu, who narrated this hadith, said it means a vow. يعني that if a person had a fast from Ramadan, you should feed somebody on behalf of them. But if they had a vow that they made it obligatory upon themselves, then somebody has to fast for them. And this is a lengthy discussion. We don't have the time to discuss it in detail. I just want to make this point that there's difference of opinion concerning this hadith. Does it mean any obligatory fast, or does it mean a vow as Aisha radiallahu anha and Abdul ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma held the view that it means a vow? As far as an obligatory fast from Ramadan, then you should feed someone on their behalf. Wallahu alam. Sallallahu wa sallam ala Nabi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Naam. Pregnant woman. Naam. Just give me a half a minute, inshallah. Yani, the person who has an obligation, a duty upon them, whatever that duty is, the duty is upon them, unless they are not able to. Yani, if a woman has the ability to feed a person on her own behalf, then that's her responsibility. That's her responsibility. But if she doesn't have the ability, then whoever is responsible for her, whether it's her husband or her father, whoever, then it becomes on them. Yani, the obligation to fast is upon her. And therefore, yani, whatever substitute for it is upon her, unless she's not able. If she's not able, then her husband is responsible for her, or her father is responsible for her, whoever is responsible for her, wallahu alam.